On Easter morning, the church celebrates this central defining moment of the Christian story. Without this moment, there would be no Christian story. We rightly experience laughter and joy and high spirits. The resurrection stories are always a helpful but sometimes strange reminder, though, that in the midst of our high spirits, that first Easter morning began with uncertainty, with fear, and even, as we hear in this morning's passage, with tears. This day, rightly celebrated as the most joyous day of the Christian year, didn't start out that way at first. The empty tomb of Easter morning alone was not yet the good news. Now, we know the general story. After 3 years of itinerant ministry, preaching and teaching and healing and breaking traditions and pretty much annoying the authorities of ancient Palestine, Jesus was betrayed by a friend, betrayed to the authorities he had offended. He was arrested, and he was quickly tried on trumped-up charges. He was publicly executed, a criminal, quickly buried in a borrowed tomb, dead and buried on Friday. Dead and buried along with the shattered hopes of his now disheartened friends and followers. And to all observers, this grand and glorious, hope-filled experiment had ended a dismal and tragic failure. Or so it seemed on Friday. And then we hear these early morning scenes, one of which we hear today, a scene recounted in all four of the Gospels in the Bible, and this one from John, perhaps the most intimate and compelling, because Mary of Magdala, one of the most devoted followers of Jesus, goes to visit the tomb, arriving and finds the stone rolled away. She runs to go tell the other followers, Peter and the other disciple, whom tradition affirms as John the Beloved, rush to confirm what she found. Yes, an empty tomb. They leave. She stays. Now, most of us may not want to hang around tombs and graveyards, even if they are in beautiful gardens. But had Mary not remained, she wouldn't have been the first to meet the risen Christ. It seems that for her, and perhaps for us to bear witness to the resurrection, we first notice the loss, recognize the emptiness, even feel the grief. We're reminded at this very opening of Resurrection Sunday morning, we still had to go through Good Friday to get to Easter Sunday. Now, every casual reader of Scripture even will notice that the different gospel stories of Jesus, while they share many things in common, many similarities, they also have differences. There are some big differences, but there are intriguing small differences too. And that's also the case with these resurrection stories. And as I was reading this passage, a really familiar passage, when I was reading it in preparation, one of the little details grabbed me. All four of our Gospels in the Bible agree that it was early morning on the third day when Mary herself, in the story from John, in the other Gospels, at least with one or more other women, early in the morning of the third day, went to the tomb. But in Mark, the earliest gospel written that we have in the Bible, in Mark, it says, very early when the sun had risen. Sun was already up when they got to the tomb. Matthew, it was toward dawn. In Luke, it was at early dawn. More ambiguous. Is that light? Is it dark? Is it in between? In John, which we hear this morning, the latest gospel, it was still dark. still dark. In Mark, the early morning sun had already risen. In John, it was still the darkness of pre-dawn. Seems the later the story got, the earlier in the morning it got. Less light, more darkness. Now, granted, that may seem like a rather trivial detail, but it begs some questions. What was the right time for the resurrection? What was the right time to witness the resurrection? Now, for those who make much about discrepancies in Scripture, it would be argued that because these stories don't agree on these details, one or all of them got the story wrong. But that incorrectly assumes that the gospel authors of 2,000 years ago were trying to be like journalists or like detectives. Give me the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That wasn't their goal. They were evangelists. They were sharing a remembered history, and a history that had already been laden with meaning and interpretation. They weren't being sloppy about the details. We just asked questions that they weren't trying to answer. And John's case in particular, in his gospel, if you're familiar with it, he takes great pains to describe and notice and contrast encounters with Jesus, those that were happening at night, set in darkness, like when Nicodemus comes to visit Jesus at night, or encounters that happen with Jesus during the day, the light of day, an example when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. Night or day, light or dark, were not to be understood primarily as literal conditions. They were metaphorical and spiritual conditions. Light, that state of revelation, knowledge, understanding. Darkness, the state of ignorance, lack of understanding. So when John writes that it was, quote, still dark, in contrast to Mark's writing after the sun had risen, it was no accident. It was intentional. So rather than trying to answer our questions with precision, like what was the right time for that first witness to the resurrection, the more important question that they were trying to answer for those first hearers, those first readers, and for us, not what was, but what is the right time. The right time in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our lives, the right time to witness resurrection. When is the right time for new life? Anyone who knows me even a little bit knows that I'm not a morning person. Who's laughing especially loudly over there? Now, I'm not a cranky morning person. I'm not mean or cranky. I don't roll out of bed like this. I'm not mean, I'm not cranky. It just takes time for me to warm up and feel ready to meet the world. A good hour and a half, two is even better. Need a good couple of doses of caffeine to be ready to pay attention to what is going on in the world, to get ready to pay attention and just show up. Does not happen early in the morning. Once a year, sunrise service, thank you, Jesus. So, truth be told, if I got to choose when to witness resurrection, it would not be before 11 a.m., and ideally, it would be about 2:30 in the afternoon. So, okay. Yeah. But guess what? I don't get to choose exactly when resurrection, exactly when new life starts. That's good news. That's actually good news. Because it doesn't wait until I or you have had your second or third cup of coffee, whether the sun is fully risen yet or not. It doesn't wait until I can understand it or you can understand it. We may still be stumbling and groping in the dark. It doesn't wait for you or me or us to be ready. Praise God, because if it waited, it would never happen. If it waited for us, it would never happen. As much as we think we want it and we're ready, can we ever really be ready to be that unsettled? Here at MCC Portland, this Lent, the season that precedes Easter, those 40 days minus the Sundays, the theme of sermons and the small groups have been spiritual practice, those actions, those holy habits that we can engage to grow spiritually. And one of the nicest definitions that I found was in Brian McLaren's book, Finding Our Way Again, where he, as a new evangelical, explores many of the ancient practices of Christian tradition. And his definition of spiritual practices are, spiritual practices are actions within our power that help us narrow the gap. Actions within our power which help us narrow the gap between who we are and who we want to become in God. Actions within our power. Now, I am thoroughly convinced that there are many actions that you and I can indeed take and must take if we are to grow and mature spiritually. Yet, in light of the message of resurrection morning, this year's Lenten practices actually prepared me for Easter in a different way. Because while I was engaged and reflecting in those actions that are within my power, I am reminded I am better able to recognize what is not within my power. And that is the power of new life. And that is the power of bringing life out of death. I had better stick to my job and leave what is actually God's job in God's hands. Now, as a caveat, there are plenty of things that I can do and am very good at doing to interfere with God, something I'm very good at. Now, there's all too much that I can do or you can do to crush the life out of something or sadly out of someone. And there's all too much that we can do to prevent new life from happening. We can block the stone from being rolled away because we hold on to it from inside the tomb. It's not going to budge. Nothing is getting out and no one is coming in, God. We are less good at letting go and getting out of the way, letting go of our plan for our life, certain that the way I think is the best way. We are less good at that, less good at dying, shall we say. But Holy Week teaches us that seems to be what must happen for God to have room to do the very best work. The compelling and always new message of the Easter resurrection is that even in the midst of our greatest losses, our most dismal failures, when we are sure there is no future, there is no life present or possible in the face of death itself even, the promise of new life is what God brings forward. What is the right time for resurrection? There's an old saying in churches that you might remember. If you're from this tradition, you'll know exactly what to do. God is never early. There are only a few of you. God is never early, but always right on time. God is not early, never late, never early, never late, but always right on time. Whether it was dawn before dawn, still dark even at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all the Gospels got it right. Because it's not when they felt they were ready, or when you or I feel that we understand it or are finally ready, when we get out of the way, when we show up ready or not. It is always the right time for resurrection. Because it is always God's job to bring life. And bringing life out of death is God's timing and not ours. On this blessed Easter, at dawn or still in the dark, ready or not, it is the right time because it's God's timing, and resurrection may be upon you. Upon me, upon all of us. Praise God.